There's something out yonder in them woods, bigger than any bear you ever laid eyes on, sharper than a man with a mean streak, and it don't give two hoots whether you believe in it or not, 'cause it's already laid eyes on you. They say the woods round Montgomery County got eyes on 'em. Not deer eyes, not coon eyes. These eyes burn red, like coals in the dark, and they're setting a face that just ain't right. Too much man to be a bear, too much beast to be a man. They call it bearilla. Ain't no story made up to scare kids. Folks have seen it, smelled it, heard it breathing just past the tree line. And if you're real unlucky, it's followed you home. Welcome to Kentucky Melody's Scary Stories from Kentucky, where we spin yarns about ghostly haints, creepy hollers, and spine-chilling legends from deep in the hills. So grab a chair, dim them lights, and let's dig into something spooky. Montgomery County, Kentucky. She's tucked away like an old secret, hid in the rolling hills and thick hardwoods just east of Lexington. You take yourself past Mount Sterling, slide through Jeffersonville, and hang a left down them back roads that don't show up proper on no GPS. The kind where your signal dies and the woods start feeling closer than they ought to. Out there, the land don't aim to be tamed. Brush grows up thick as a bramble wall. Ridges rise steep like the bones of the earth. And them old logging roads? They're nothing but scars now. Half swallowed by roots and rain, barely wide enough for a mule, let alone a truck. You walk far enough in and the air starts changing. Sound don't carry right. Even the birds hush up come dusk, like they know better than to sing when something's listening. That's Barilla Country, and it don't stop at Montgomery. No, sir, sightings have bled over into Bath County, Nicholas, even stretching into Menifee, where they say Cold War bunkers still rot like old sins hidden deep in the moss and ivy. But Montgomery? That's where the story roots down. That's where folks first started speaking low about the thing that walks like a man, but don't belong to no world we know. The first time anybody laid eyes on it, least that we know of, was way back in the 1940s. There was a young boy messing round by a creek near sundown, just off Slate Creek. He weren't doing nothing but skipping rocks and following his dog, a loyal old mutt that didn't scare easy. But all of a sudden, that dog stiffened up, started growling low, then barking like something was setting its fur on fire. Next thing you know, it turned tail and tore off back toward the house, whimpering, tail tucked tight. That dog had chased coyotes and cornered snakes, but something out there put a fear in it like no other. That's when the boy saw it. Something standing upright in the tree line, tall, thick with muscle, black fur hanging off its shoulders like a wet rug, built broad like a grizzly, but with a head that weren't right. Said it looked like a gorilla, but off. Jaw too long, eyes too deep, and teeth that looked like they was made for tearing, not chewing. He ran, heart pounding like thunder in a storm. Swore he felt hot breath on the back of his neck the whole way. When his daddy found him, the boy was shaking so bad he couldn't speak at first. And his arms? Scratched up something fierce. Long rakes down his forearms like claws had tried to snatch him mid-run. Folks wrote it off. Said he must have fell in the brush. Dreamed it up. Got spooked by a bear, maybe. But years later, when folks in those parts started swapping stories about a creature in the woods, that boy's tale didn't sound near so wild anymore. Back in the fall of 1976, two old boys were out working a patch of timber near Ridge Holler, just a few miles outside Jeffersonville. They'd been cutting all day, trying to beat the early dark that comes on quick in them hills once summer turns to fall. They were just about to pack it in when they heard it. Not just twigs snapping, branches, thick ones, cracking like bones under weight. Something heavy was moving through the woods, fast but not careless, like it wanted to be heard. Then came the smell, rot, death, wet fur and old meat, like a deer left too long in the sun, made their stomachs churn right there in the cool dusk air. They turned, and there it was, standing upright in the shadows, it's about 30 yards off, big as a bull moose and thick as a root cellar wall. Its whole body was covered in matted, greasy black hair. Shoulders wide and rounded like a grizzly, but its face, that's where things turned real wrong. Flat-faced, like a man who'd been twisted by something unnatural. No snout like a bear, just sunken eyes glowing red like stove embers and a mouth that hung open just enough to show jagged yellowed teeth. One of the loggers, fella named Virgil, dropped his chainsaw right then and there, didn't even look back, just tore off down the ridge yelling like a banshee. The other one said he froze, couldn't move, said the thing never growled, never lunged, just stood there, watching, like it weren't afraid, like it knew something. Next day, they came back with the sheriff and a couple others, found tree limbs snapped clean 10 feet up, like something had barreled through without even slowing down, and right there in the mud, tracks, deep, wide, bigger than a grown man's boot, sunk in so far it must have weighed twice what any of them did. They marked the spot on a map, but nobody ever cleared that stretch again. Too many said the woods felt wrong after that. By the late 80s, the stories had grown quiet, like the woods themselves were holding their breath, but they never stopped completely. Cryptid researcher Ron Coffey, a fella known for digging into Kentucky's strangest shadows, heard them whispers and came sniffing round the edges of Montgomery and Bath counties. Then, in 1989, he got wind of something peculiar. A hunter out in Bath County, just a ridge or two over from the Montgomery line, claimed he'd found tracks, big ones. So Coffey packed up and made his way into the brush. What he found weren't no bear. He took a plaster cast of one of them prints, 17 inches long, deep heel, thick toes, wide apart. But the shape was off. Didn't match bear, didn't match man. Whatever left it was heavy, real heavy, and walked like it meant business. Word started spreading again. Folks up in the holler started talking low like they used to. And Coffey, he gave the creature a name that stuck in folks' throats like a splinter, Barilla. Back in the early 90s, a family thought they'd spend a quiet weekend camping out by Slate Creek, just a little ways off the old Trace Road. Nothing fancy, just a clearing in the woods, a fire pit, and a canvas tent big enough to hold two sleepy young'uns and a couple tired parents. The night was cool, crickets chirping, fire crackling low. Sometime after midnight, the mama stirred in her sleep. Something weren't right. She lay there a second, holding her breath, ears straining. Then she heard it, breathing, heavy, slow, coming from just the other side of the canvas, close enough she could feel the air shift with it. She figured maybe her husband had gone out to check on the fire. But when she reached over, there he was, still laying beside her, snoring soft. Her whole body went cold. She sat up real careful-like, listening. Still breathing. Low and ragged, like a big man winded from work, but slower, deeper, too deep to be human. She eased toward the tent flap and unzipped it just a hair. And there it stood, no more than 8 feet away, half lit by the glow of the dying fire, steam rising off its matted black fur like mist off the holler at first light. Its chest rose and fell like a bellows, shoulders broad as a bull's yoke, arms hanging long, almost to its knees. And them eyes, they were already on her. Didn't blink, didn't move, just watched. She zipped that flap shut faster than a whip crack, heart hammering in her chest like a freight train on a loose track. Didn't say a word, just woke her husband, scooped up the kids, and they left. Didn't bother packing up the tent, the cooler, none of it. They left that creek like it was cursed. And far as I know, they never went camping again. Back in the late 90s, there was a teenager out of Mount Sterling. A curious sort, always chasing ghost tales and wandering where he ought not be. One cloudy afternoon, he grabbed his daddy's old camcorder, one of them bulky shoulder ones, and headed down an overgrown trail near Jeffersonville. Said he'd heard stories of haints and shadow people down there, figured he might catch something spooky on tape to scare up his buddies. But he didn't find no ghost. He came back pale as chalk and shaking like a leaf in a cold wind. Said he'd found something crouched over a dead deer. Big one, too, freshly killed. Steam still rising off its guts. Whatever it was tearing into that carcass with its bare hands, ripping muscle from bone like wet paper. He thought maybe it was a man in a costume at first, some prank or a crazy hunter gone wrong. But then it stood up. Said it towered over the brush, built like a linebacker, but with them long arms hanging near its knees. The fur was patchy in places, mottled and greasy, but what struck him hardest was how the skin moved underneath. Said it was too real, too natural, too alive. And the smell? Lord, he said it near made him black out, like roadkill left to rot in the sun mixed with a wet dog that had crawled out of a grave. Its eyes met his. Didn't growl, didn't charge, just watched. And them hands? Said they were big enough to wrap clear round his skull, and probably squeeze like a peach. That boy didn't wait to find out. He turned tail, dropped the camcorder right there in the dirt, and ran so hard he lost a shoe somewhere along the path. When he got home, he was still gagging from the stench, eyes wide, couldn't speak for near an hour. Next day, he went back with his uncle to get the camera. It was gone. Grass trampled where the thing stood, and what was left of the deer was just bones picked clean and a few scraps hanging in the branches. That boy ain't never been back in them woods since, and he don't tell ghost stories no more. Bearilla sighting slowed some in the 2000s, but they never stopped. Farmers out near Grassy Lick and Pine Ridge been finding fences torn clean down, like something big didn't even bother climbing, just walk through. Hunters swear their best kill got dragged off in the dead of night. No blood trail, just gone. And campers, they talk about low growls rolling through the woods, so deep it rattled their ribs and made their lanterns flicker. Some folks reckon it's just a big old black bear gone wrong. Others claim it's something worse, a creature made in some underground lab, escaped from one of them Cold War bunkers still rotting out in Menifee County. Talk of spliced DNA, government secrets, hush-hush projects that never quite shut down. But the old-timers, they say it's older than all that, older than the bunkers. Older than the towns, maybe older than the hills themselves. Some call it a guardian, watching over the woods, punishing those who take too much. Others call it a curse, set loose by the greed of men who dug too deep and woke something that ought to have been left sleeping. Whatever it is, it don't want to be found. But when it does show up, ain't never just for a visit. So, if you're ever walking them woods east of Jeffersonville, and the air goes still, and you smell that rot creeping up your nose, turn around. Don't run. Don't speak. Just leave. Because Barilla don't make noise when it stalks. It don't charge. It waits. And once it's seen you, it never forgets. Barilla ain't your typical Bigfoot. It's darker, meaner, and far more real to the folks who've seen it. The woods of Montgomery County still hold secrets, and this one's buried deep in the hollers, in the broken trees, and in the stories passed from porch to porch. The question ain't just, is it out there? The question is, how close has it gotten to you without you even knowing? Now, I gotta ask y'all something. You reckon Barilla's the real deal? A true blue Kentucky cryptid? Or maybe just a case of folks mistaking shadows and old fear for something that ain't there? What do you make of it? All them stories from 1940 clear on through to now. Different folks, same beast? Coincidence? Or is there something bigger hiding in them hills? You ever laid eyes on something strange out in the woods? Something that don't quite fit no field guide or wildlife chart? And let's say there is a creature like Barilla out there. Would you want proof? Or would you rather let it stay out there in the dark, where it belongs? Drop your stories in the comments, friends. Tell us what you've seen, or what's seen you. Because here in Kentucky, some legends don't die. They just go quiet. Till they're ready to roar again. Well, now, if you made it this far without running for the hills or checking under your bed, bless your brave little heart. But don't go thinking the woods are done whispering just yet. Come on back next Saturday, same time, same haunting place, because we'll have another fresh tale waiting for you, hot and spooky, straight out of Kentucky's darkest hollers. And who knows, next week's story might just follow you home. So go on now, grab a blanket, lock your doors, and maybe, just maybe, keep a flashlight by the bed, because you're going to need it. This here is Kentucky Melody, and we ain't done with you yet.